I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to the Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we are talking about reading business books to get new ideas. And I know this is like true to your soul, Chris.
We're in my study, my sacred place.
So. Oh my gosh, I heard something online that said if you have over, I believe, 1,000 books, it's considered a library.
Okay.
So you own a library.
I do.
Yeah.
When we moved in here, Ashley's like, you do realize when you die that we're going to have to get rid of all these books. So I've got that going for me.
She said that to me too, and I volunteered to take them. So if your family doesn't want them, I will take them.
You might could just take the whole house.
So do you actually intentionally organize them by author?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well organized. So this is like business. This is kind of churchy stuff. History and kind of leftover business stuff. Mm. So if you got, and the engineering books are behind this producer there. So if you ask me where a book is, it may take me a couple of minutes, but I'll find it.
Yeah.
I was able to find the ones I was looking for pretty easy. So it's a good organization system. Okay. So I did a little bit of research, and this isn't specifically to business, but what age group do you think has the highest number of readers in 2021? So 18 to 29, 30 to 49, 50 to 64, or 65 plus? Buddy, what's your first guess?
It's 18 to
29. Okay.
So I have two. I'd like an A and a B. So I agree with Buddy because the kids are in school and they have to read. So that was the younger group. And then I had the older people because they don't have anything to do. So they may be more likely to read. And their generation were readers. Mm-hmm. Right? So anyway, we're probably both wrong.
No, y'all were right. So 18 to 29, 83% on average read a book in the last year.
Okay.
83% of them. And then 65 plus, it wasn't much lower than that. I think it was about 75%.
Cool. Okay. So, right.
Yeah.
So Chris said it right. They're reading for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like why are they reading a book and what was the book about?
There's probably something we could learn there, right?
Yeah.
You know, the older people is like, well, if I had to do it over again, I would have read more books.
Well, and then from 30 to 49, you're like in the trenches with of kids, raising kids and stuff.
Yeah.
So what do each of you think about reading and how often do you do it? Chris?
So I read every day. I'd read, if God gave us 48 hours in a day, I'd read for 24. I just love to read. And I think some of it, like I read different things, like I'm reading a history book about Douglas and Lincoln. And then other times I mentioned business. Other times I'm reading, you know, theology stuff. So I like reading because it takes me to another place.
Yes, you know, it does.
No, I'm the same way, really. I think I don't read as much as Chris. I'm looking around. But it's interesting the way he's compartmentalized the history books, the Bible, you know, some of the business books. I enjoy them in different stages of what I'm going through in terms of recreational reading and versus history or maybe a Bible study.
I read or listen to a book every single day. I do a lot of listening in my car, and I listen to lots of psychology books because I just find them fascinating, and relationship books.
That explains a lot.
Maybe it explains why I'm not in a relationship. And I like listening to relationship books and also books on like raising children, that kind of stuff. And then the books I actually read are the business books themselves, a lot of them that you've given me. I was going to bring a whole bag of them, but I got distracted and didn't. But it was a huge bag. Like I had to find my big bag to put them in.
I know. I do appreciate that, you giving books away. And he signs the insides of them that's really with nice notes.
Yeah.
I've started doing it with my ladies. So in a few years, they're going to have a bunch too.
That's cool. That is neat.
Okay. So since we're talking about business books, let's talk about the best business advice you've ever received, which I think is probably the hardest question to answer.
That was hard.
Yes.
So I didn't see this as necessarily in a book.
Yes.
So early on in my career, I met an attorney named Ron Niehaus. I hadn't talked to Ron in 10 years. He may be retired by now. But we went to lunch one day, and he'd been really successful. He was a lawyer, a partner in a firm. And I said, Ron, I'm a young guy, give me some advice. He said, here's some advice, Chris. And this is really kind of before the internet took off. He said, if I get a phone call, you know, and it's before 4 o'clock, he said, I always call him back that day. If it's after 4 o'clock, I call him back the first thing the next morning. So what that communicated to me is if you're a professional or professional service company, you need to be responsive. So anyway, that single conversation we had at lunch meeting really impacted me.
Absolutely.
That's very good. True. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Bunny, what about you?
Yeah, that was a difficult question. I think for me, it was parallel to, I don't know if you guys read the Harvard Business Review, some of their journals and articles. I think they're very good, but this one was referenced in a conversation with one of my mentors that talked about the balance as a salesperson, what made them successful. And they did a study for all of the, I think this was over a 10-year study at Harvard with all the most, the top 40 Fortune 500 companies. What they found was the balance between empathy and ego really shaped the performance of an individual. Mm. Each meeting, each engagement is different because you want to have that ego. His point was is that you are important, you are driving value, but at the same time, you need to be listening to what they want, right? So there was an interesting moment with him sharing that and then talking me through it. So that's the best advice I ever got.
So the best advice, it's actually not advice that I've gotten. It's seeing how a business was run and not wanting to do that. So culture is very, very important to me and my ladies. It's the most important thing in my business is our company culture. Yeah. And so I've been in companies where that was not the culture. It didn't have a horrible culture by any means. It just didn't have like an excellent culture. And so just by being part of that, I really learned that culture is what I wanted to focus on.
So it's kind of more you observed it rather than advice that you got.
Yes. And then you talk to me all the time about being positive and positive leadership. You just give me a book on positive leadership. And I love that kind of stuff. I think it just gets you so far in life.
It does. So, I agree. That's great.
Yeah. So now this one, I think this one's probably a little easier. What is your favorite business book and what did you learn from it, buddy?
Yeah,
or maybe this favorite book.
Yeah, this was he brought this a was stat, not it so was not really so different stages of my sales career. I feel like I had different levels of understanding, and also our culture and the dynamics have changed. So we moved in my the last 25 years or so, we've moved into a digital age. So when you start to talk about traditional sales models and books that were really important, they may not be as applicable now, and the evolvement from where you come in with your value props, and we used to hear that and beaten to death, but really it's evolved to now diagnostic selling and developing a business case. And you got to think about, like, you have companies like Oracle, some of these others that, you know, the technology age really changed how they can impact various levels of an organization. Yeah. So they're propping up a beta alongside what they're currently doing, and they're trying to sell different services onto that. So that's just one example where we've just totally changed how we approach sales. So each book and each stage is different.
Yes, because you were saying that you really enjoy reading, but you like more academic, like almost like textbook type reading instead of like the feel-good business books.
Yeah, and I was impacted because I trained a lot of sales teams. You have to have some kind of foundation. That means that there may be forms that you develop, you have follow-up criteria, you have KPIs, you're developing different strategies. So, and I've worked for service companies, I've worked for products, I've worked for startups. So each of those are different, and they've all brought me to different experiences and different books and processes to support that.
Yeah, so it sounds like more practical reading than like kind of idea-based.
That's correct. Which is... recreationally, I like to, I'm big into history. I have a lot of Audible books. I mean, I listen to, I'll share this. I like Bill O'Reilly's Killing Series. I like a lot of the different Bible study books. I get into those, and, those are balanced between a lot of blogs and journals that I read. And then also, I mean, I think it's worth noting that if you're in a technical field, you also need to be reading papers, and I'm sending out papers and engaging our engineers all the time on, updated topics, whether it's compliance related or some of the newer ILI tools or technologies.
Constantly learning.
Yeah.
All of us. All right, Chris, what
is it? It was hard. It was hard. I really kind of stressed out on this one. And I normally stress out on these kind of questions. So anyway, I do have one. It's called Selling the Invisible. I don't know that it's widely read. It's called, although it says it's a classic, but by Harry Beckwith. So this book is special for a couple of reasons. One is Fred Wilson, who was kind of my early mentor. Fred passed away years ago. But he's the one that started buying me books. So there's as I'm looking on the shelf over here, there's probably 20 or 25 books. And so Fred loved to read. And mm-hmm. so he started giving me business books, and he'd always write little notes. I can't say I came up with it. And so it was just a way for him and me to bond. But what I realized was, you know, Fred was very successful. He didn't have a business degree. He had like an associate's degree, but he read all the time. So a couple things, he always had good stories because he was always reading, but he learned a lot about business by reading books. So mm-hmm. here I am, someone who's got 3 degrees in mechanical engineering, but I love business. And one of the reasons I'm really emotionally connected to a lot of the books is that I learn. There's not a book I've ever read, a business book, that I haven't learned something. I learn it, and then I go apply it to work and to business. So anyway, this is a great book. The reason I like this one, it's called Selling the Invisible, is, and it's funny, you and I both talked about sales, is in the United States today, it's very different than it was 50 years ago. What we're selling mm-hmm. primarily are the invisible things. I mean, even when you go to McDonald's, it's the experience that you're buying, right? Mm-hmm. Or Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. And so kind of for us in the service business, it's the part of the business that people can't see. It's not like a website or getting some burst test or something like we do at ADV Integrity, but it's the invisible part, the relationship part where people feel connected to. So anyway, he's just got all these really neat stories about how you can build that into your business. So anyway, it really impacted me. You can tell it's really worn. I've read it probably 20 years ago, and I've read it several times since then.
I'm gonna have to read that one.
It's a good one. Yeah. He's actually got 3 books, and I've read all of those.
Oh.
So. Yeah, to your point, I read an article recently that we have somewhat of an inflation going on right now, but it hasn't impacted certain businesses.
But we're not in a recession.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we officially went into one.
They're redefining that, I think, as we speak.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think McDonald's hasn't been impacted because, to your point, they don't go in for the, you think of a cost-effective bill, they're really going in for the experience, either for their kids or,
mm-hmm.
and it's not.
It's know. Not for really good food.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last time I ate there. Well, my favorite book is Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. It is about negotiating, and he was a former FBI hostage negotiator, and he now has a business consulting all about negotiating. And I need to read it again because I listened to it while I was driving, and I want to actually sit down and read it. But one of the things that he said in there is that you want to get to know as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So that way then you can work towards yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So like yeah. Them saying no right away is actually a really good thing. And then you have to figure out what they want, and it's all about what they want.
Right.
And how you can make that happen for them.
That's good.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed reading it.
And you bought that for me, and I have not read it yet. So
that's okay. I haven't read most of the books you've given me. So although I think that's the only one I've given you, so maybe I'm a little offended.
Well, I think it goes into the queue, right? I mean, we have a queue of books.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
I did get through half of the positive leadership that you gave out recently, and I liked it. If I like a book, I'll burn through it. But
I've read one chapter of it, and I really liked it.
Yeah, it is good. Mm-hmm. It's a feel-good book.
Yes. Okay, so let's make one book recommendation other than your favorite, and then just say why you're recommending it. Okay, mine is by Peter Lencioni, The Four Obsessed... No, not this one. Sorry, that's a good one. I've read that one too. But The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team.
Oh, that's a good one.
So I really liked this book. I liked that they talked about how a very healthy team has conflict and they never make it personal. Mm-hmm. But it's very healthy for you to disagree with each other very passionately and plead your case, and then y'all all decide together. Yep. And I thought that was a really great thing. Your leadership team is fantastic about doing that.
Yeah, we like to argue.
So every time I see it, at first it made me uncomfortable, and then I got used to it, and then I read this book, and I'm like, oh, that just means that they're very healthy leadership
team. They really like each other. They just argue all the time.
Yes.
They like to push each other's buttons, right?
Yeah. All right, Chris, what is your recommendation?
So I recently read a book called Grit by Angela Duckworth, and I'm looking, it's on the shelf over there. But actually, I bought a bunch of copies. I've given a few away. So here's one of the reasons I like that book. She kind of did a statistic and looked at like really successful people. And a lot of times you'll look at someone who's successful and like, well, I wonder why they must be naturally talented. So she had a little math in it. So that made me like it even more. So her equation was skill times effort equals talent. Talent times effort equals competence. Okay. So as a minimum, effort counts twice as much as talent. Okay. Which is the first part of the equation. And so the key is, and I also gave it to Aaron, my 13-year-old, and said, look, read this book, because if you want to be successful, and he's big into football right now or math or anything, you have to really work at it. And it's kind of a book I wish I had read a long time ago. I think every teacher should read it, because it's an encouragement for students. It's like, look, if you just work really hard at something under the right development process, you can actually be really successful.
Yeah. Well, I like how in the book she talked about how parents, she specifically talked about moms, but parents, mentors in general, can really develop grit in people by nurturing what they really like to do and encouraging them and not stopping their creativity because it's messy or because it's inconvenient. Right. So
and she even had like a scale, a grit scale, so you could take a test and see how gritty you were. So to me, it's really neat. It was kind of research that she did, you know, as a graduate student, and it's kind of become her life.
So it's very interesting. Buddy, what about you?
Well, I tend to lean toward books that, like you said, are more academic, that they pull data, historical data, you know, recent data. One of them is the Beyond Performance by Scott Keller. I read this. It's a group of guys that worked at McKinsey, had supported a number of different companies, very successful, but also pulled data from McKinsey over the last, you know, few decades. And what they found in terms of in performance of team, how you get the most out of an organization, you really have to put the time and effort into the health of the organization. That is the cultures, the things that we talked about. And they give you strategies on how to do that, from what is expected from an executive leader. You know, it's easy to go through the motions, but how serious are you? You know, you talk about work. How much work are you putting into your team's development? And yeah, sometimes those retreats, sometimes those meetings, they get overwhelming. You got, you know, things on your docket that you need to take care of. But believe me, they're worth the effort, the time that you put into it. You get more out of it over the long haul. And that's the whole point of the book.
That's good.
Yes. Well, we felt that way. We do retreats pretty often. And we've talked about how, like, the morning of, we're like, oh man, I have so much to do. But then you go to the retreat and you're just so like recharged and engaged that you're like, I'm really glad that I went to that. So it is important
to do
them.
You need to throw an axe throwing into a retreat, and that takes it to a whole nother level.
Yes. We have pictures.
Yeah, it was awesome. Pictures. It was really fun.
All right, buddy, what was your key takeaway from this podcast?
For me, there is some effort into reading with intent. You need to understand where you are, because you're not always going to be reading business books, and you know, you want to be strategic with it. And I'm very fortunate to have someone that I work with that loves to read and he loves to give away books. I probably should be doing that more.
So that's your key takeaway. You got to start writing notes and books and giving them away.
Yeah, I'm going to follow y'all's lead.
You can give me the first book.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. What's yours?
You don't have to read it either.
I think one thing is to not be intimidated, right? Is that if there's an area that you want to learn something about, there's probably someone out there who's done a video on it or they've written a book. And, you know, you just kind of immerse yourself. And over a relatively short period of time, I'd say probably 6 to 18 months, if you're working at it and those kind of things, you can get really good at it. So anyway, that's my encouragement. I mean, that's one reason I read. There's a lot of things I don't know. And the way I kind of overcome, you know, that ignorance is by learning by reading.
I agree. So my key takeaway is just how important reading is. I would say every successful person that I know reads regularly. Yeah. And it's always just a continuing education thing. Or I like reading inspirational books, because sometimes as a leader, you don't have the people inspiring you. Like, people are looking for inspiration from
you.
You're
the inspiration, right? Yeah.
So I like reading those if I get into a funk or something, because we all do.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my key takeaway. Really, this is a good one. It's kind of a different format than we've followed in the past. Yep. Might have to throw some more of these in there to keep you all on your toes.
That's great. Come on. Ask the hard questions. Just send it to us a couple days earlier. Yeah,
like you did.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't have a topic planned for our next podcast, so I'm going to let Buddy pick it. Putting you on the spot, 100%.
Yeah, so I think we need to look at maybe our experiences with different types of companies, you know, from a startup to someone that's focused more on digital technology and data.
That's
really good. And, you know, try to give them some insights, maybe even talk about the differences between those companies and how you would approach it from a B2C to a B2B. And, and some companies have both of those, right?
Yeah. So, yes, that's a good topic. And then I think the episode after that, we should talk about dealing with difficult clients. I thought about that the other day. I actually don't have any difficult clients right now. It's amazing. Oh, gosh. Knock on wood. Yeah. You know I'm getting
did,
one.
You did, though. Yeah. But he's no longer a client.
Yes. But just tips and tricks and strategies for difficult situations.
Sure. I think that's great. Absolutely. Good topics.
Okay, great. Well, we are officially on every single platform where you can get a podcast now. Great job, Miss Producer. And we will see y'all on our next episode.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.